Okay, we're holding on Erevin Nun Aleph, or the very bottom of Nun Amud Bet. We are at the two dots. Amar Shvitati Bikaru Malech B'Makom Raglav Ve'ad Ikaru Alpayim Amam Ikaru Leveto Alpayim Amanim Tzimal Meshachashecha Arba Talafim Amma. Right, so if he establishes his Shabbat residence at the center, at a specified, you know, root of the tree, then he can walk up to 2,000 amot to that tree, and then from that tree up to 2,000 amot to his home and walk full 4,000 amot. Amar Rava, v'hudichi rahit li'ikaro mati. That's only where if he ran to the tree, he would reach it before Shabbat. Right? Meaning you can't establish that as a residence if there's no theoretical way that you can even reach it before Shabbat started. If you could reach it, then it's considered in your area that you can establish your Shabbat residence. Amar le'abaye v'hachashchalo katani. But didn't the Mishnah teach that it was getting dark, you know, where he was? How's he supposed to reach it in time? Yigad amri amar rava chashchalo ki masgi kale kale aval rehite mati. Right? So there's some who interpret the statement as saying as follows, right? That it would be dark for him. It would get dark for him if he walked there, but if he ran there, then he would get there in time. Rabba v'Rav Yosef havuka azli be'urcha amar le Rabba l'Rav Yosef tehesh visatenu tutei dikla disavi lachua. So Rabba and Rav Yosef were on their way, and Rabba said to Rav Yosef, let our Shabbat residence be established by a certain date tree that's holding up its other, holding up the date tree next to it. I mean, it's a very specific date tree that he's referring to. Amarle to the defarik mare mi karga. Alternatively, it's the he said the date tree that that absolves the owner of paying taxes, meaning it produces enough fruit such that it covers his taxes. Amarle, so Rav Yosef said back to Rabba, I don't know what tree you're talking about. Amarle, Samochalai. He says, well, rely on me. I know the tree, and so I'll take care of it. Detanya, I'm Rav Yosef, Detanya, Rav Yosef, Omer, Imayu Shnayim, Makir, Echad, Einu Makir, Echad, Makir, Ve'echad, Sheinu Makir, Echad, Makir, Ve'echad, Sheinu Makir, Zeh, Sheinu Makir, Moshe, Shvedito, Lo Makir, Zeh, Shemakir, Omer, Teh, Shetetenu, Makom Ploni. Right, so Rav Yosef taught in the Braita that if one person knew of a place, the other person didn't, you can give him the right to establish Shabbat residence, and he can establish it on your behalf. Velohi, but by the way, the Rav Yosef is not actually the author of that Braita. I mean, that's what Rabbi said to Rav Yosef. But Rav Yosef is not the actual author of that Braita. Lo tanale ki Rav Yosef, ela ki heche de lekabel mine mishum de Rav Yosef nimuko imo. Right? He just said in Rav Yosef's name, meaning he knew this Braita to be the truth, and he knew that's how we paskin. We said in Rav Yosef's name so that no one would argue with it, but because Rav Yosef is very precise in his language, but he wasn't the actual one who taught the Braita. Im einu makir o sheinu makir. Okay, back to the Mishnah. If he doesn't know a specific place, or he doesn't know the halacha that you can establish it far away, so then he can establish his residence where he is bimkomo and have 2,000 amot around him. Hani alpayim ama hechan ktivan. How do we know that it's alpayim ama? So here we're going to get into how we learn that this establishment that your area is 2,000 amot. Netanya, we learned that a braita shvu ish tachtav, right? That a person is bound to his place. Elo arba amot, and as we learned earlier, that's 4 amot. Al yitze ish mekomo elo apayim amot. But when it says that a person should not leave his general area, that's talking about 2,000 amot. Minalan, okay. Now, how do you know that's 2,000 amot? Amar Rav Chizda, lamanu makom imakom. Okay, so first of all, the makom here, we have Xerashava to another place where makom is used. Umakom minisa, and in that pasuk where makom is used, it's used in conjunction, in juxtaposition to the word nisa, which is to go or to flee. Vinisa minisa, and then we have Xerashava from nisa to nisa, from flee to flee. Vinisa migvu, and then nisa is used in conjunction in juxtaposition to gvul, to the border that you can flee to the border. Ugvul migvu, and then we have Xerashava from gvul. And then we have a juxtaposition, a hekesh from gvul, from border to outside, chutz. Then chutz mechutz, and we have a gzera shava from chutz outside to chutz outside. Dichtiv miratam mechutz leir et pat kedma alpayim ama. And by that chutz, it's written 2,000 amot. So we know that a person's makom, if you kind of link them all together, all the gzera shavas and all the and all the hekeshes, you basically get that a person's makom If a person would flee away from his makom to the border of where his makom is, and then go outside of it, what would be considered outside of the border of his makom is 2,000 amot. So it all kind of works together as one big idea that it's not just a link of words. It's never just a link of words. It's also a link of related words. So what we see here is if you're in a place and you flee from that place and you go to the very border of that place and then you surpass the border of that place and you're now outside the border of where you were once considered to be, that is 2,000 amot. In which case, what is considered leaving the area that you once were was traveling 2,000 amot, and now you're considered in a new place. But we have a different pasuk that uses chutza that seemingly could be used here, and that's talking about 1,000 amot. Danin chutz mechutz, vein danin chutz mechutza. Right, well, one's talking about chutz, and one's talking about mechutza. And so we'd rather use chutz than mechutza. What's the difference between using chutz and chutza? We had a gzera shava of the Kohen going and the Kohen coming. Shev and ba, they're two different words entirely, but still, because they're talking about the same idea, we link the two words together. Don't tell me you can't make a gzera shava from chutza to chutz. You can make it from shiva to bia. They're different words altogether. No. That's when there's no word that's exactly like it, so you're allowed to make a gzera shava with an unsimilar word. However, if you have the option to make a gzera shava with one over the other, and one is exactly the same and one is similar, then we go with the one that's exactly the same. Apayim ama agulot. Okay, so said the Mishnah that the 2,000 amot we're talking about, according to our Chanina ben Antigonus, we're talking about circular amot. So basically, the diameter is 2,000 amot, and then you get, or the diameter is 2,000 amot in each direction, so 4,000 amot, and then you get the full circle around them, but you don't get the corners. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, it's manavshach, eid le gzera shava, peot ktivat, eid le gzera shava, apayim amot minale. Well, I don't understand where Rabbi Yochanan ben Antigonus' ashita comes from, because either way, meaning if you hold by the gzera shava, so that's gzera shava, that's talking about using the corners, right? It's talking about the full length, it's talking about square amot, and if you don't know use the gzera shava, then how do you even know that it's apayim? Le'olam eid lecha gzera Shava v'shani hacha dekamar kara zeye lahem migrashei harim. No, really holds by the gzera shava, but it's a little bit different here. Why? Because there it says that this will be your area, right? This will be your area. Lazetanaten peot v'yatanaten peot l'shov de shabbat. Meaning, even though the pasuk that we learned it from talks about the corners, it includes the corners in the measurements, so it should be a square amot, 2,000 square amot. It uses a mute, this word this. And what are we saying? Why davka this? This one is 2,000 and square amot. Yeah, this one and not the other ones. So that's how Rabbi ben Antigonus learns that it's only by there, what the pasuk is also actually talking about, that you get 2,000 square amot, but what we're using, the gzera shava, is excluded from that. You don't get the square amot. Rabbanan, how the Rabbanan respond to that claim? Tani Rabbi Chananya omer kazeh yeh kosh of the Shabbat. No, they learn zeh as a model. Kazeh, like this, all other dwellings will be established. Amar Racha Bar Yaakov, Amavir Abba Amar B'shter Rabim, Inu Chayav Achevir Hen V'Alachsonan. And basically what we're seeing now is that all Shabbat measurements, really all Tchum measurements, all boundary measurements, are talking about square amot, right? In which case, there is this iser of carrying four amot reshut rabim. You can't carry something that's four amot in the reshut rabim, not just from one reshut to another reshut, but you can't carry a full four amot. But what we just said is that all of our measurements are not just four amot, they are four square amot, in which case, if you walk in a straight line, a square amma includes much more area space than a straight line of four amma. What we see from Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is that it's not just walking four standard amot. In fact, you have to walk a diagonal, the length of a diagonal of a four square amot, which is really 5 3/5 amot, right? Because if you just walk four amot, you're not violating the square amma, which is our measurement of that we're using here. So how do you violate walking more than four square amot? What do you walk? Have to walk, you know, every single inch in the amongst the square amma? No, you just walk the diagonal of the square amma, which is a little bit more than four amma. In fact, Amar Papa Badiklan Rava. So Rabbah tested us as follows. Amud Rosh HaRabim Gavoa Sarav Rochav Arba. So you have an Amud Rosh HaRabim, an Amud, sorry, in Rosh HaRabim. It's a pillar, and it is 10 tvachim high, and it's 4 tvachim wide. Tzarech Hen V'Achsonan, right? You have to have, I mean, it can't just be 4 tvachim wide in a strip. It has to be a diagonal, right? Or, no, can it even be a strip? Meaning, when we say it's 4 tvachim wide, do we mean that if the amud is 10 tvachim high, it could be any minimal amount of width as long as it is, meaning as long as it's 4 tvachim wide, it can literally be a 4 tefach strip? Or do what we mean is we need a square 4 tvachim with a diagonal? So that's the question he asked. This is a test. We said, and we responded to him, well, isn't it like what Rav Chananya taught, that all measurements are talking about square measurements when it comes to Shabbat? So it's not just 4 minimal tefachim, like a strip of 4 tefachim across. It really has to be a square measurement. And that's what we answered. V'zehu she'amru, back to the Mishnah. V'zehu she'amru ha'ani me'arev v'raglav amar v'meir in lanu ela ani. Okay, so what we're going to discuss here is the nature of the machloket here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, because it's not so clear. Basically, we have a couple cases that the Mishnah talks about, because the Mishnah talks about, a poor person or someone who's walking along the way, and he says, okay, my dwelling place is over there. I want my dwelling place to be by the tree. And another case where he doesn't know that he can do that, and he just says, no, I want my dwelling place to be right where I am, and establishes right there. But he does it not with bread or with food or any kind, just with his physical presence. And then Rabbi Meir comes in and says, and that's what the sages say when they said that you can that a poor person can establish his residence without bread. And so the question becomes, what is he commenting? What's Rabbi Meir commenting on? Right? Is he saying that this leniency exists for the ani in the case of establishing his residence right where he is? In which case, that's the case that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on. And we have a machloket by, I want my residence to be right where I am, if you don't use any food, whether that works. Or is Rabbi Meir saying, no, what the kula when it comes to the ani, is that the ani can say, I want my residence to be over there. But everyone would agree that if he's saying, I want my residence to be over here, that works for the ani and the ashir. And where the machloket exists between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is only establishing your residence far away. So that's the question. Are they arguing about establishing your residence far away? That Rabbi Meir thinks that even a rich person can do this. Rabbi Meir thinks that only a poor person can do this, and Rabbi Yehuda thinks even a rich person can do that. But everyone agreed that if you're establishing it right then and there, you can do it with your presence and you don't need food. Or is there argument about, or does everyone say that establishing your residence over there is something that only works with poor people? But when it comes to establishing your residence right where you are, but with your presence as opposed to food, that is where the machloket of Meir and Rabbi Yehuda exists, right? So I explained that clearly, but now we're going to see it in the Gemara. Amar of Nachman, machloket b'mekomi. Right, the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is when you say, I want to establish my residence right where I am, but with no food. The Rabbi Meir savar ikar eruv bepat ani Yehuda kila rabbanan iluve. And Rabbi Meir holds that eruvin are generally normally supposed to be made with food. And what Rabbi Meir said is, we're going to be lenient. The Chum believe that they were being lenient for poor people and say, you can establish an Erev even without food. Aval Asher lo, but a rich person can't do this because the normal Erev establishes food and they can establish Erev with food, so they cannot even establish an Erev right where they're standing without food. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Ikur Erev Beregel. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The normal way of making an Eruv is with your presence. Echad ani ve'echad ashir. So this should work, establishing your residence right where you are, but without any food. That works for a poor person or a rich person. However, when it comes to establishing my residence at some far off location that I'm not standing in, that's when we were makil for the anim, but not for the ashirim. V'zoi she'amru, and if you understand, like Rav Nachman, in this understanding of the machloket, zoi she'amru, then this is how you read the Mishnah. Zoi she'amru, this is what the Chachamim said, that a poor person can establish their residence. Man Ketani, that's a Rav Meir. Rav Meir is the one who said it, Vahaya Ketani. And what case was he referring to? That this is the case that they were talking about. Enu makir o she'enu baki behalacha. So Rav Meir said this statement, Rav Meir said this statement, when Rav Meir said this statement about this is where the Chachamim were more makil for the Anim than for the Ashirim, he was talking about a case when you don't know the Halacha, and so you can establish it in this place. Because Rav Meir believed that was a Kula that existed uniquely for Anim and not for Ashirim. V'lo amru marvin bepat ela lahakel man katani la Rav Yehuda. And then the statement that said that no. Even an Ashir can make an Eruv in that way. And they only asked for bread as to be makil for the rich people who could just send it out with a messenger and not have to establish in their presence, right? But that's Rabbi Yehuda's belief. So if you understand it like Rabbi Yochanan, that the machloket exists around establishing the Eruv in your place, then it is by the statement that the Mishnah made about making an Eruv right where you are, because you don't know that the halacha is you can make an Eruv elsewhere, that Rabbi Meir said that only works for Anim, and Rabbi Yehuda says that also works for Ashir. However, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if we're talking about making an Eruv over there, that only works for the Anim, so that's not a machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir at all. So where they differ, where Rabbi Meir said this is what works for Anim, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, it even works for Ashirim, that's Bimakomi. Now, what case is the Mishnah talking about that's Bimakomi, meaning right where I'm standing? That is a case where you don't know that the halacha is, where the poor person doesn't know the halacha is, they can establish an Eruv elsewhere. Rav Chisda has a different version of the machloket. He believes the machloket is as follows. Rav Chisda Amar, machloket b'makom ploni, de Rabbi Meir savar ani in ashir lo, Rabbi Yehuda savar echad ani ve'echad ashir. Right? So when it comes to b'makom ploni, establish my residence over there. I want my residence to be over there. That's when Rabbi Meir says, oh, you want your residence to be over there, not where you're standing? Okay, but only for a poor person. Only works for a poor person. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it works even for a rich person. Aval b'mekomi. However, if you're establishing your Shabbat residence exactly where you're standing, divrei akol echad ani ve'echad ashir di'ikar eruv b'regel. Everyone agrees in that case that it works for an Ani and an Ashir. The main way of establishing an Eruv is with your presence. And here, that's exactly what you're doing. You're standing in that place. No one's going to argue that doesn't work. Of course it works. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree. If you're standing there, it's fine. The only Kula that we're applying to a poor person, according to Rav Chisda's understanding of this Machloket, is establishing your residence over there. V'zoi she'amru. And now Rav Chisda is going to read it back into the Mishnah. Zoi she'amru man katani la Rabbi Meir. And that's what it meant when we said, who is, you know, who's the author of this statement? That's Rabbi Meir, Vahaya Kai, and which statement he's talking about? Mi Shababa Derech V'chashchalo. Right? So he's talking about the case of someone who's walking on his way and it becomes dark for him, that he's going to establish his residence over there. So when Rabbi Meir said, oh, he's coming along the way and he wants to establish his residence far away, that works for him, Davka him, that's what Chacham were makil for the Ani. And then Rabbi Yehuda argues, right? V'lo amru ma'arvin bepat ela lahakel man katani la divrei hakol. Right? And then who is the, and then that which they said that the, that the, that the, that which they said that, that a, even a rich person is able to establish, his residence where he is, and they only offered him the option of doing it with bread, not because it's the main way of establishing an Eruv, but because it just makes it easier for him. That's everyone agrees with that. However, has to be where you're residing. So basically, we have two understandings of the Machloket of Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, right? Just to make things clear. Now, that Machloket is based on whether you believe that the primary way of establishing an Eruv is with your presence, or is it with bread, right? So in the first version of the Machloket, whether it's with your presence or with bread is or with food is actually a machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And then you have a machloket Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir on b'mekomi, right, where you're establishing your presence where you are, where Meir thinks it only works with a poor person because the ikar eruv is with bread, and so we're only lenient to let you establish it with your presence for a poor person. But Rabbi Yehuda says no, b'mekomi works for a poor person and a rich person because the ikar eruv is where you're standing, and so of course it's going to work for a rich person as well. That's how you make an eruv in general, and it's only and then when it comes to making an eruv far away, everyone agrees that that doesn't work for a rich person, right? So this is a machloket there's a machloket between Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda on what they're arguing on, whether they're arguing on b'mekomi or b'makom ploni, but also on there's also a machloket on whether on what is the Iker Eruv, on whether there's a machloket. There's a machloket on whether there is a machloket about what is the Iker Eruv, right? So according to Rav Nachman, they're arguing, Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir are arguing about whether the Iker Eruv is with your presence, as Rabbi Yehuda would say, or the Iker Eruv is with the bread, and so doing it with your presence is a kula that they only gave to poor people. However, according to Rav Chisda, everyone agrees that the Iker Eruv is with your presence, and so of course a rich person can establish it with his presence. However, establishing it far away, you're not standing there. That's not establishing an Eruv with your presence, and that is when a Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda would have their machloket. The Rav Meir believes it only works for poor people, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it also works for rich people. Okay. Tanakh Kavidur Rav Nachman. Now that we have this machloket Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda, we point out that there is a braita that supports Rav Nachman's shita. How so? Echad ani ve'echad ashir ma'arvin mepat. A poor person and a rich person can make an eruv with bread. V'lo yatza ashir chutz latchum. And a rich person cannot go outside of his domain. V'yomar shvitati b'makomi. Alavishalo amru ma'arvin beregel. El misha babaderech v'chashcha. Right, you can't go outside the tchum and say, "Well, my new Shabbat residence is where I'm standing," because we only we didn't say that you're allowed to establish an eruv with your presence, except for someone who was caught in the middle of the road. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Ani VeEchad Ashir Marvin Regel. Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, both a poor person and a rich person can make can establish an eruv with his presence." VeYatze Ashir Chutz LaTchum, and a rich person can go outside his domain. VeYomer Teishu B'Makomi and say that my Shabbat residence is where I'm standing. V'zehu ikaro shel eruv, and that's in fact the main way that an eruv is made with your presence. V'hetiru chamim lebalabayit lishloch eruvo biyad avdo biyad. Biyad bino, biyad shlucho, bishvil lakel alav. And we just allowed someone to send a messenger to bring his eruv, just to make it easier for them. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, maseh b'anshei beit Memel uvanche Beit Gurion ba'aroma. So the people, so Rabbi Yehuda said there was a case involving the people of Beit Memel and the people of Beit Gurion who met in a place called Aroma. Jayu mechalkin grugot v'tzimukim. They were giving out dried figs and raisins le anim b'shnei b'tzor to poor people in a fam. In a year of famine, vayin anim kvar shichin v'ani kvar chananya. And the poor people of different villages of Shichin and Chananya came to collect as well. Mach shichin alatchum. Right, and they went out. They went out of their boundary as approaching nightfall. Lamacharat mashkim inuva'in, right? And so the next day, they got up and they came all the way there. So basically, they went out to the middle, established their Shabbat residence in the middle between their two villages, then went back home to at the very edge of one Shabbat domain. And so the next day, they were able to walk all the way to the other Shabbat domain, which was, less than 4,000 amot away. But basically, what this demonstrates is that this braita is clearly supports Rav Nachman's understanding of the machloket, because Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are arguing about what the ikar of the eruv is, about whether it's with the ikar of the eruv is establishing it with your presence, or the ikar of the eruv is establishing it through food of some sort. So that's sort of Nachman's understanding of the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and that is clearly supported by the Braita. Amar Rav Ashi matnitin nami daika. Actually, Rav Ashi says you can even infer this from a careful reading of our Mishnah or of a Mishnah. Dikatani, as we taught in the Mishnah, Misha yatsa lelech leir shema arvin la. Someone who left his home and went to a city that they're going to make an eruv around. Ve'chziru chaveru, and his friend turned it back before he reached there. Hu mutar alech v'chol b'nei ha'ir asurin. He, the person who went out on his way to the other city, he's allowed to then go from his home in the city he went back to his home in the city that he went out to, because he already set along his way and established his home there as his primary home. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita v'avenenba. But let's discuss this for a little bit. Maishna ihu, maishna inhu. The tachlis, end of the day, what's the difference between him and everyone else in the city? V'amar Rav Huna hachav mayaskinan. Because what are we dealing with here? Right, you're talking about someone with two homes, and there are two tchumei shabbat between them. So if you establish your presence in the middle, then you can kind of go between the two. Ihu kevan denafka leorcha havele ani. And so him, once he went on his way and became like a traveler, someone who's not set in his home, so we give him the status of an ani who's able to say that I left on my way. Maybe he was only a couple steps out of his home, but he left on his way, and so we give him the status of a traveler, of a poor person who's traveling between places. And so if he wants to establish his Shabbat residence in the middle of both of his homes, he can. V'hanach ashirim ninhu. However, the people who are staying in their homes in the previous city, they're ashirim, and they can't establish a Shabbat residence away from where they are standing currently. So they are So they are not allowed to leave. Alma kol b'makom ploni ani in ashir lo shmamina, right? Which seems to indicate that that just a normal person, not an ani, a normal person cannot establish a Shabbat residence wherever they want. It has to be where they're standing. Only an ani, only a poor person, is allowed to establish a residence where he isn't. Matni le Rav Chiya bar Ashi le Chiya bar Rav. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi said to Rav Chiya bar Rav, Kame de Rav, in front of Rav, Echad Ani v'Echad Ashir, Echad Ani v'Echad Ashir, right? That a poor person and a rich person can do this mechanism where they establish their Shabbat residence, where they establish a Shabbat residence far away. Amar le Rav, Saim ba Nami halach k'Rabbi Yehuda, right? He says you should also conclude, when you teach this, you should the halacha, you should teach that we follow Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rav Bar Chanan have a ragil da ati me ar tivna le pumpedita. Rav Bar Chanan used to travel from ar tivna pumpedita. Amar te shivita ti be tzinta, and he says let my Shabbat residence be in tzinta, which in between the two, so that he can walk back and forth. Amar le Abaye, ma datcha? So Abaye says, how are you doing that? How are you establishing your Shabbat residence in Tzinta, so you can walk between the two places that you want to travel, which are 4,000 amot away? Right? What's your svara here? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Alach Rabbi Yehuda. You're saying that between this machloket Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, the Alach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'amar Rav Chizda, machloket Makom Ploni, and you follow the shita of Rav Chizda. And you follow Rabbi Yehuda's shita that whatever they're arguing about works for both an ani and an ashir. You're considered an ashir, so you can do this, but you also have to hold by Rav Chizda's understanding that they're not arguing about b'mekomi, they're arguing about makom ploni. And so you believe that basically we follow Rabbi Yehuda in Rav Chizda's explanation that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even an ashir can establish his Shabbat residence not where he's standing, but by some distant location. Veha Rav Nachman v'tanya kavatei. But one second, how are you holding like Rav Chizda's shita if we have Rav Nachman's understanding of the machloket, which is the argument is about b'makomi, that can a poor person and a rich person establish a Shabbat residence where they're standing? Can a rich person establish their Shabbat residence at some far off location? That's Rav Nachman's understanding, and the Braita follows Rav Nachman. So how exactly are you following Rav Chizda's understanding of the machloket? Amar le Hadribi. So he said to him, I retract my ruling. I go back on what I said earlier, and I can't do this. I can't establish my Shabbat residence some far off location in the middle of the two places that I want to travel between.